This week there were 31 of us who went to Wilmington to do relief work. And we went to share out of our abundance. We had time and the will and, at least at the beginning, the energy to go and to make somebody's home warmer, safer, or drier. To provide what we could to those who have been hurting. To do what Christ calls us to do. Care for our neighbors in their time of need. And as we went, of course, also we go to share out of our abundance, but we go also knowing that Christ is found most visibly among those we went to serve, among the poor, the marginalized, the beaten down. And so we went together as three churches. Our church had nine of us from Covenant Christian, some folks from Cary First Christian Church, and some folks from Good Shepherd UCC. And this is important, I think, for us to remember that this is part of our ongoing work. The three of us, three churches, to be a witness to our community and to other communities about what is possible when the body of Christ moves beyond the barriers that often separate us and work together for the purposes of God. And so I asked our mission team a simple question. Where did God show up for you this week? Where was God present for you this week? And I think, as Randy told the kids, it's important to name those times God was here. Because especially when we encounter moments in our lives where we wonder where God was, it's important to know and to name those places when God shows up. So I'm going to read about a time for Jacob when that was true, and then I'm going to invite some of them to come and share their answers to that question. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set upon the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. I invite our mission team folks to come up. Have most of us here this morning, Matthew and Carol and Lisa, is that what we're missing? Yes, those were our other three. I'll start with my answer to that question, and then I'll let them answer that question. You never know on a mission trip how God will show up, and there were two for me. One I didn't even think about really until this morning, but on our work site we were, it was Wilmington Area Rebuilding Ministries. When they say area, that means some of us were 30 and 40 minutes outside of Wilmington and Pender, Brunswick counties. My crew for most of the week that I was on was out in Pender County, in this rural area. And we were working one day and was working a lot with Edwin is one of the youth from Cary First Christian Church, a predominantly African American congregation. And Edwin and I were standing in the front yard of this house that we were working on, and this pickup truck rolls down the dirt road with a big Confederate flag on the front of the truck, and slows to a crawl, and sort of gives Edwin an eye, and he said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "I did see that." I just was thinking about this morning. That I was glad I was standing there with him. And that when he asked me that question, that I had seen it and that I could acknowledge his experience. I think that's an important way for us, a simple thing, to be neighbors. Did you see that? Did you hear that? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you know what that felt like? And just to be able to say yes is a pretty important thing. The second thing was, during the middle of the week, Carol Carson came down with a very bad case of shingles. And started feeling bad earlier in the week, and by sort of Wednesday night into Thursday, she was in a lot of pain. And anybody that knows Carol and Lisa, you know that mission trips are their thing. Yeah. They just love, they live for these experiences, and it's such a deep part of their faith. And if it had been me, around about the time that rash popped up, I would have had my bags in the car and back up I-40. It's only 2 hours. I got my own car. I can go home and be in my bed. But they stayed and they stayed and they agonized about whether to leave. And it was so hard for them because of their heart for serving others. It means so much to them for them to be able to. So I was inspired by that. And that was a God moment for me. And also to see the care that they have for one another. Because on Thursday, when Carol had finally gotten, she'd been to urgent care, and we had a PA who came and like actually saw Carol at the church, and she said, "You know, you really need to go home." And I drove out to pick up Lisa from her work site, and Carol was worried about disappointing Lisa that they would have to go home. And Lisa was worried that Carol was worried about. And I said, "Your problem is you're too worried about each other." But that's sisters, and it's also a heart of generosity, and a great love for something outside yourself. And so to me, that was God present. So I'll turn it over to these folks if they have things to share this morning. And you'll see some pictures.
I went on my first mission trip 2 years ago in the vicinity of a town called Colettesville in the mountains, and we stayed in a beautiful church camp called Johns River Valley, and traveled from there, and very beautiful, you know, where I worked was this log cabin on top of the mountain. And the experience was everything that Randy described this morning. You know, went there to help other people, but it, you know, the experience, it changed me. And I have to admit, when I found out this year we were going to Wilmington instead of going back to the mountains, I was disappointed. I was like, you know, there's no way this is going to be the same. You know, we're not, you know, in the mountains you. There was no cell service, so you really had to disconnect and you know, it was really a profound experience. But what I learned this week is it doesn't matter where you're going, it's what you're doing and who you're doing it with. And it was every bit is a profound experience for me being in the middle of this. You know, we stayed in a fairly semi-industrial area where Chris's church is, and traveled about, and you could drive down to the corner to store to buy things and stuff like that, but you know, it was the same. And you know, I had my iPad with me, and I would get it out after we got back from the trip, and I'd be tempted to do my normal thing, which I would do at home, or sit and read. But But I didn't. I brought it out, and I ended up talking, you know, spending time with people. And so it really is, as Randy described, an experience. You go there to help other people, and you end up in helping yourself a lot. One of the ways I saw God, which happened in a few different, you know, several ways, is in how we overcame challenges. As I mentioned, we all stayed in Chris's church in Wilmington, his old church, the church he grew up in. And there were two showers, one for men, one for women. And we made it work, though. And there was a Y a mile away, and those of us with Y memberships shower there. There was a Baptist facility nearby that offered their showers, and it worked out. When we got there, the AC was out in the fellowship hall. And the kitchen crew ended up working in the same kind of heat that those of us who were working outside had to work in. It got fixed on Tuesday, and we overcame that. We were sleeping, you know, whereas in 2 years ago, we had some fairly nice cabins to stay in, and everybody, you know, two or three people to a bathroom. We were 6 and 9 people in a room in this church, you know, sleeping on cots and air mattresses. But it worked. And, and the floor. That's another story. But and the other thing we dealt with is, you know, we went there not knowing precisely what we were going to do. And when we got there, things changed all the time. We, one site took a lot more work to get done, and we had to shift people around, but we adapted to it. Another way I saw God is one of the things that we were told on this trip that you know as important as it is, this work that we're doing to fix these houses, and as important that is, the other thing that's really important is to spend time with the homeowners. And one way I saw God was Kate Yuska from Good Shepherd. She's very skillful, very talented with construction skills. She builds sets for plays and things. But she kind of ended up doing her day job for several hours. She's a counselor, and she ended up spending a lot of time listening to Mr. Rodney. Every time he went in the house to try to go to the bathroom, he'd try to lasso, get you engaged in conversation. You know, I would do it. I'd talk to him for 10, 15 minutes and find a way to get back out the door. But she spent 5 or 6 hours probably with him. And it's not what she wanted to be doing, but, you know, she felt that's what, you know, she was called to do. And likewise, I saw God in Chris, because he ended up doing his day job too. Thursday morning, as he mentioned, it was a pretty emotional experience for Carol and Lisa having to, you know, cope with their plans being dashed. And so I was standing out in the parking lot waiting, you know, Lisa was supposed to ride with me, and I was like, where's everybody? And I went and looked in, and there were three of them in the room, and Chris was pastoring to them. And then he spent the morning playing chauffeur. You know, driving around, he had to deliver some people to a job site, and then he had to go back and go pick up Lisa. And so I saw a lot of God in the people I worked with.
I got my notes written down, so please bear with me. This was my first mission trip. And I would have to say I was aware of God's presence many times and in many different ways. But my first night in Wilmington, I admit I was a little nervous. I was nervous about what I was going to be doing this week. And it was, as it being my first mission trip, I remember thinking of the words in Matthew, many are called, but few are chosen. So I prayed to God, and I asked him to show me the ways that I could be worthy enough to be chosen for the work that I was going to be doing ahead of myself. Well, I believe God answered my prayers when he surrounded me with a group of wonderful and dedicated people, such as Reverend Chris and Mark and C.E. and Carol and Lisa Carson and two fabulous young men, Matt and Shawan. Working with them and the others from Good Shepherd and Carrie First Christian, I learned how to measure and cut wood, how to use a saw, an electric sander, and a screwdriver. And every day as I worked with them, I gained the confidence that I needed to do God's work the way he wanted me to. And I tell you, I can't say enough about Matt and Shawan and young man from Carrie First Christian named Edwin that Chris talked about. Edwin and Shawan hit it off immediately, and soon they were working together as a team. And in a short time, they went from being supervised when they measured and cut and being told, don't forget your glasses, don't forget your safety glasses, to being the supervisors themselves. Because on the last work day, on Thursday, Edwin and Shawan and myself and another volunteer were at the Warren place. We were building materials to be used. And Edwin and Shawan became our supervisors. And I remember them saying, I need a 48-inch there, I need a 45-inch here, and here's your tape measure, and here's your pencil, and start measuring for us. I was so impressed. God was truly working through them. And then there were some other incidences when I saw, you know, God's presence. One day, when my first day out, I was working on sanding a deck. And as we were getting done with that, we're getting ready to stain it, all of a sudden, this out of nowhere, came these butterflies and dragonflies, and they were hovering down over the deck area that we had just finished. They weren't there 30 minutes before or an hour before, but when we were finishing up, all of a sudden they showed up, and they were just hovering, and I thought, you know, God must have sent them here to look at our work and thank us for what we did. And then there were some other incidences when I saw God's presence. And Mark talked about some of the homeowners we worked with. And there were people, you know, we came and basically invaded their homes to repair them for them. There was Miss Bessie from Wallace. She was a mother of 11 children, and she was also a minister who drove to her church in Fayetteville every week. And of course, there was Mr. Rodney, which Mark talked about, who left us a box of donuts and bottles of water, and just was, both of them were so grateful and just thanked us for everything that we were doing for them. And as I mentioned earlier, God brought good people together, and I felt it was in the camaraderie that we had. There were people from three different churches. We were black, we were white, we were Asian, we were young and old, but we all came together, we prayed together, we ate together, we worked together, we even played together. And as Mark said earlier, you never know what you expect, but it changes you when you leave. And that's how I feel and how I felt, and I'm looking forward to my next mission trip.
Usually you save the best for last, but that's not the case. Over the last few years, I've been very fortunate to be a member of mission teams that have participated in trips to Biloxi, Mississippi after Katrina.
Thank you. I can't get loud enough. Since relocating to North Carolina, I've done volunteer work with Habitat for Humanity in Apex and Raleigh and Cary. I've been to Lumberton, where I almost did Mark Matthews in by knocking over a no longer used brick chimney that nearly became his tombstone. For someone who spent his whole life sitting behind a desk with a telephone in one hand and a pencil or a computer mouse in the other hand, these trips became a release for someone who enjoys driving nails and acting like a carpenter. Don't we all? Lately, I've realized that there's more to these trips than hammering and nailing. We were fortunate to have families with children along. These young people were eager to learn and willing to sweat. And boy, did we sweat. To watch as the youngsters tried and became efficient at many of the jobs that were handed to them. Have you ever used an electric saw? Eyes wide. No. Do you want to? Eyes wider. Smile larger. Yes. Do they pay attention and learn? You bet your life. As a matter of fact, this young man over here had a smile on his face the first day, and it never came off. I mean, even his father a time or two would drop down and go, whew. Not Shawan. Didn't need that. Were they treated as children? Not in my eyes. They worked, and they worked hard. Hopefully they learned new skills. They became aware that mistakes are made, then corrected, fault not assessed. Job well done. Nearly all mistakes can be and are corrected. I suspect in some cases they were treated like adults. The result of a job well done, let's do this now. An occasional pat on the back, the only praise. To me, it is wonderful to see the look on everyone's face when a completed job is a smile, and let's go do something else. Now, I jumped on Matt Dunn this morning, but to see some of these young people is just like Matthew. He's been on enough of these trips. He grabs his tools and he goes to work. You don't have to tell him much. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. He can do it. Well, we've got another one right over here, young lady, young man. He smiles. He never quits smiling. And he works. Boy, does he work. It's pleasing. It's very pleasing to work with all of them. These excursions bring out foolishness in adults, too. An example of that is at the cookout at the beach. Many adults, including our minister, participated in a wiffle ball game against the youngsters, including Jude. I'll get it right in a minute. Sharon, and nameless others. There was a balcony up on the building right next to where they were playing in the sand. There were assembled guests up there enjoying the afternoon with beverages, I guess. I don't know, but they enjoyed the spectacle just as much as we did. And they were very vocal, especially when the adults tried to overrun the children. No, he was safe. He's out. I mean, they just wouldn't, you know, some of them needed help. Frivolity wasn't restricted to the kids, though. I was scheduled for breakfast help on Thursday morning. As usual, I had not paid attention when I signed up. As I stood to head for bed, I don't know what time it was, 9 o'clock, whatever, I called out to the adults still up in the cafeteria area. What time do I need to be here for help for breakfast? Two or three of the older adults answered, 5:30 a.m. So I go back to that little 12 by 12 room where six of us were staying, five of them with cots and mattresses, and one old man with a sleeping bag laying on the concrete floor. And I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Got up, got dressed, wandered down to the kitchen about 5:35, and then walked one of the real kitchen workers. She said, "What are you here for?" I said, "I have kitchen duty." She replied, "You don't have to be here till 7 o'clock.
So actually this whole mission trip is his idea. So he signed up first, and I joined the first kind of a session, explained what's going to happen. And then I realized that, oh, it's probably not a good idea when you send this one alone. So I kind of came with him. It turns out he enjoyed more than me, and he worked hard. And the one thing I learned was that sleeping on the concrete floor is really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we learned. And there's a lot of kind of challenges and things, and all the different tasks and stuff like that. And one thing I learned was that everyone is just jumping onto that work, no matter they can do or not, doesn't matter. And that makes a big difference. And then one person or two people or someone have some skill and explanation, maybe that's a good idea or not, and then solve the problem. I think that's kind of a great thing to see. Not necessarily that was me. Not the case. But everyone, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's assigned one or it's a challenge in a way, but everyone put together and solved the problem. That was very impressive for me. The second one was that, the last one was that there was a coordinator from the one. And a lot of people said that, oh yeah, I had that. I retired from the commercial construction company. Right now I'm working with this warm, make much less money, much more kind of harder work and everything, but it is a really, really fulfilling job. And they all enjoyed working with this, and they also always thank to us to be a volunteer. So that was a great thing to see and to learn from them also. So this whole trip was a great experience. Mm-hmm. And he already said that, okay, I'm going to do that next time again. So my guess, I will go there with him too. So that's about it.
I just want to add that I have heard from his dad that Shawan wants him to buy him a circular saw. Is that correct?
He wants to buy a circular saw and a small, tiny kind of screwdriver thing.
Yep.
And another kind of big drill.